When the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. Suddenly, a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. Now they were staying in Jerusalem, God-fearing Jews from every nation under heaven. When they heard this sound, a crowd came together in bewilderment because each one heard them speaking in his own language. Utterly amazed, they asked, "Are not all these men who are speaking Galileans? Then how is it that each of us hears him in his own native language? Parthians, Medes and Elamites, residents of Mesopotamia, Judea and Cappadocia, Pontus and Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia, Egypt and the parts of Libya near Cyrene, visitors from Rome, both Jews and converts to Judaism, Cretans and Arabs. We hear them declaring the wonders of God in our own tongues." Amazed and perplexed, they asked one another, "What does this mean?" Some, however, made fun of them and said, "They've had too much wine." Then Peter stood up with the 11, raised his voice and addressed the crowd. "Fellow Jews and all of you who are in Jerusalem, let me explain this to you. Listen carefully to what I say."
I've just realised that I made an error in that I asked for Acts chapter 2 instead of Acts chapter 1, but there we are. You can Acts chapter 2 is about the coming of the Holy Spirit, and we're in advance of ourselves a bit. And Acts chapter 1 is about Jesus ascending to his Father. But both things go together, really, because Jesus gave instructions by the power of the Spirit to the men he had chosen as his apostles. And for 40 days, he appeared to them many times in ways that proved beyond doubt that he was alive. Hey, wouldn't you like to have been there?
Yeah.
Over a period of 40 days, he appeared to them many times. Hey. Maybe he thought that they needed lots of encouragement, saying, you know, "It's going to be okay, you guys, it's going to be okay." You know, before he said, "Beam me up, Scotty," you know, he was with them, and he said, "Don't you understand? You know, this is how it's all working out." And we have no record of what he said in those 40 days, where he appeared to them many times. But they saw him, and in face-to-face meeting with them, he talked to them about the kingdom of God. They ate meals together, and they asked questions. "What about us? What's going to happen to us? How will we cope?" And Jesus said, "Timing is the Father's business. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses." It's as Jesus said in Mark 13, "It's not for you to know the times or the occasions when this will occur, but it will occur." And two men in white robes appeared before them, and they said, "Stop gaping. You're looking up where Jesus ascended, and you're waiting there, but he's gone. You get on with what he was telling you to do." So they were together and they were in prayer, as we read in Acts chapters 1 and 2. But I want to ask, how does this become real to us? And I think the ascension of Jesus, having completed his work here on earth, he ascended to the Father. He is supreme and exalted. First chapter in Ephesians tells you the greatness of that. He is ascended and exalted to the Father's right hand. And Philippians chapter 2, where He humbled himself and became obedient to death, even to death on the cross. But God highly exalted him and gave him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow. When Queen Elizabeth had her 90th birthday, there was great pomp and ceremony, but also the human touch, deep interest in people and what's going on. And she had a sharp, keen mind and a deep Christian faith. But it wasn't possible for any citizen to approach her with personal requests. But Jesus, when he ascended, was King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And the time he'd been humiliated and suffered, and many rulers would exact terrible revenge if they were in the same place, keeping order by despotic power, subduing enemies by terrible force. But Jesus ascended, King of Kings, Lord of Lords. In secular business, a person rising from the shop floor to become managing director, not just of the firm he worked for, but for all the firms, groups, shops and groups, it's only a good director who will be concerned for the employees and how the decisions he makes will affect them and their families. But Jesus swept the floor of the carpenter shop in Nazareth. Now he is universal managing director. He is at the Father's side in power and glory. And he remembers us. He remembers us. John chapter 14, he said, I go to prepare a place for you. In the first letter of John, if anyone sins, we have an advocate, or someone who pleads with the Father on our behalf, with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. He is at the Father's right hand, praying for us. 1 Timothy, for there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus. And Hebrews chapter 7, he is able now and always to save those who come to God through him, since he always lives to make intercession for them. Hey, he always lives to pray for us, for you, and for me. That's tricky stuff. That's amazing stuff. The Master and Lord of the universe, King of Kings, Lord of Lords, is interested in you and in me. He always lives to make intercession for them. So, Jesus is praying for me and praying for you in all my waywardness and willfulness, but he sees our real needs, he sees what's inside us, and he's interested in us. And Hebrews 7:25, he is able to save to the uttermost, now and forever, those who come to God through him. I don't know if you've ever been in Madame Tussauds. I remember going there once when we lived near in London, and amazing wax figures there. And anybody has got their statue there in wax. I couldn't find mine, but never mind. As I was going round, I was climbing up the stairs, and I wasn't sure which way to go. So I asked an usher, is it this way or that way? And then, stupid me, I realized I was talking to a wax model and not to a human person. But we worship Jesus not as a wax model, not somebody who is venerated because of the good he did, when he was down on earth. We worship Jesus, who is a human being, but a human being exalted, the Son of God, who knows us, who can tell us the way. Which way do I go? Is it down there or is it down there? Guidance.
Yeah.
One of the trickiest things in the Christian life.
Yes.
I'm selling my house. Where do I live? We've done that on a few, not selling that, we've had to move several times. And there's always question marks. But because we believe in Jesus, we hold on. We ask other people for guidance if we've got big decisions to make. We ask brother and sister Christians, what do you think about this? You know, pray for us. Pray together with me in decisions I have to make. We pray for Jesus, who is praying for us. He is interested in you and me. And that is amazing. We worship Jesus, who is alive and who gives us power. Okay, so if this power is so great, and he talks about that power in Ephesians chapter 1, I've not stopped giving thanks for you, says Paul, remembering you in my prayers. I keep asking that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious Father, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation so you may know him better. I pray also the eyes of your heart may be enlightened in order you may know the hope to which he has called you, the riches of his glorious inheritance of the saints, and his incomparably great power for us who believe. That power is like the working of his mighty strength, which he exerted in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly realms, far above all rule, authority, power and dominion, and every power that can be given, title that can be given, not only in the present age, but also in the one to come. And God placed all things under his feet and appointed him to be head over everything for the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills everything in every way. Hey, that leaves me breathless, really. That all the power, authority that Jesus now has, he uses in many ways, including praying for you and for me. Oh. If the power is so great, why don't we know it in our own lives? If you've seen a yacht in harbour at low tide, I remember going to Lyme Regis last year, and the tide was out. It's quite a sad sight. Oh, a pretty sight as well. All these yachts keeling over and tethered. But we went back later when we were eating fish and chips by the quayside, and the tide had come in, and these yachts were up. They were buoyant, but they were still tethered. So when the tide comes in, the yacht is still held by mooring ropes. It rises, it floats, it's ready to go to sea, but the tethering ropes are holding it firm. Release the ropes. Set it free. What are the ropes that are tethering you to where you are instead of where you want to be, sailing where Jesus wants you to go? The beauties of the ocean. Amen. That indeed is a whistle stop to both of Mark 13 and also the Ascension, but much more can be said on all of those things. But hold on to something that God has put in your minds, and I think what he's saying is that you are special And God is concerned for you and wants you to work with him for the purposes of God's kingdom.